Well, we're continuing on our journey to Jerusalem. And we actually have found that Jesus was there, but reviewing a little bit, remember the foundation. There is no one other than Jesus who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And we remember John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Reading John again, and you realize that we have an advantage when we read John because we know what God has done through Jesus. And when you look at it, we understand it. But I got thinking about it. You know, I like to give out the Gospels of John. But you know, I was thinking about it. You know, if people had any idea about God or Jesus, that book might be a mystery to them. In the beginning was the Word. Well, what does that mean? You know, without the understanding of Scripture that we have, they probably would raise questions in their mind. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with him, and everything was created by the Word. Now, without him, nothing was created. You know, if you don't have any concept that there is a real God, that's going to be mysterious. So when you give out something like that, you have to pray that the Lord, the Holy Spirit, will give them an inkling, an understanding, and that the Spirit would open up their understanding to believe truth when they get to John 3:16. And then you remember what happened when he leased the story of the lease of the vineyard. A man planted a vineyard, leased it to a tenant farmers, moved to another country for several years. In that time of the grape harvest, he sent his servants to collect his share of the crops. But the farmers attacked the servant, beat him up, and sent him back empty-handed. Someone sent another servant, and they also insulted him, beat him up, and sent him away empty-handed. A third man was sent, and they wounded him and chased him away. So Jesus continued the story, and he said this, "What will I do?" the owner asked himself. "I know. I'll send my cherished son. Surely they will respect him." But when the tenant farmer saw his son, they said to one another, "Here comes the heir to his estate, to this estate. Let's kill him and get the estate for ourselves." So they dragged him out of the vineyard and murdered him. What do you suppose the owner of the vineyard will do to them? Jesus asked. Jesus said, "I tell you, he will come and kill those farmers and lease the vineyard to others." How terrible that such a thing should ever happen, his listeners protested. How terrible. Jesus looked at them and said, "Then what does this scripture mean? The stone that the builders rejected has now become the cornerstone. Everyone who stumbles over that stone will be broken to pieces. It will crush anyone that falls on it." Now this is from Psalm 118:22, where he quoted that. Somehow Jesus knew the scripture. And if you go down to verse 24, that's a verse that we like all the time. It says, "This is a day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." we use it for day-by-day things, but that isn't what the meaning is in the context. The day that the Lord has made was Jesus. That's the day that it was talking about, the cornerstone. So when we say that, add that thought to it. Not only was it a beautiful morning or a beautiful day in our lifetime, but more importantly, it is the day that the Lord made for himself, for us, all of us, the Lord's day of life. So anyway, I just wanted to bring that thought in. Continued. So here are the people that know that they were being talked about. Watching for their opportunity, the leaders sent spies, pretending to be honest men. Could we say politicians? Pretending to be honest men? They tried to get Jesus to say something that could be reported to the Roman governor so he would arrest Jesus. Teacher, they said, we know that you speak and teach what is right and are not influenced by what others think. You teach the way to God truthfully. Now tell us, is it right for us to pay taxes to Caesar or not? You see the trickery here? This is what they're doing. Now they even said truth when they said, we know that you speak and do what's right. And you don't care what other people say. You tell truth. And they said the truth, but they weren't intending to speak truth. They were using it just as a lead-in to trick Jesus into saying something that they wanted to use in the court of law. And you remember, we'll get ahead of this in the next couple of days or weeks or so, as we continue in Luke, get to the last days, you find that when Jesus came before Pilate, he said, I don't find anything that it would cause him to be accused or imprisoned for this or killed for this. He hasn't done anything that breaks the law. And he tried to say that three times. His wife warned him, you better be careful. So he sent him to Herod, and Herod said the same thing. I don't find anything that brings accusations of Herod. So they had to invent something. Just like in that song we sang, Watch the Lamb. They had to invent lies in order to convict Jesus. We'll see that in detail as we continue on in Luke. So they asked him the question, is it right to pay taxes to Caesar or not? So Jesus answered. He said, he saw through their trickery and said, show me a Roman coin whose picture and title are stamped on it. Caesar, they replied. Well then, he said, give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and give to God what belongs to God. Look at our coins. What do we have on them? We have George Washington on some of them, right? We have John Kennedy even on some of them. So I wonder if they would allow us to use those for our taxes. Now what are we going to do when we don't even have pennies? I get notices in the mails, and now they got to send nickels. They send nickels or quarters and say, hey, send these back with your gift. Return them. We're not giving you as a free gift, although they are. And postal regulations are that anything that comes in the mail is yours. And you don't have to do anything with it. You don't have to send it back. It's yours. We have nice bags, and we have a couple of flags and things like that that have come in the mail. So use them. The bag that we bring the stuff in for church is one of those that came as a freebie. I don't think I sent back an offering for that either. And give Jen a couple of those for her to use for groceries. But anyway, give to Caesar what is belonging to Caesar, and God what belongs to God. So they didn't really have anything to say. So they failed to trap him by what he said in front of the people. Instead, they were amazed by his answer, and they became silent. So, if people were honest, they would understand truth. But here, the leaders found they could not trap him. Jesus was smarter than they were. Just like Charlie Kirk. He was smarter than they were. But they didn't like it, so they killed him. And we still don't know who they are yet. We know who, but we don't know they. But the evil people here didn't have anything to say. And so they just kept quiet. Smarter than people today. So they failed to trap him. They just became silent. So then, notice the crowd is still continuing. Then Jesus was approached by some Sadducees. You know, there are major tribes. Not just Republicans and Democrats and Independents. Sadducees is one of the main Jewish tribes. And then religious leaders who say there is no resurrection from the dead. That's what Sadducees were. That was their particular belief. No resurrection. So here, they're still trying to trap Jesus with something. You notice this? The whole crowd was united. Sadducees, Pharisees, scribes, and religious leaders. They were all united against Jesus. Does that sound like our president? They were trying to trap him again. And so they posed the question, Teacher, Moses gave us a law that if a man dies, leaving a wife and no children, his brother should marry the widow and have a child who will carry on the brother's name. So, suppose there were 7 brothers. The oldest one married and then died without children. So the second brother married and widow, but also died. The third brother married her and continued to all 7 of them died without children. So, finding the woman also died. So tell us, whose wife shall she be? Will she be in the resurrection? For all 7 were married to her. So Jesus answered, marriage is for people here on earth. So he continues, but in the age to come, those worthy of being raised from the dead will neither marry nor be given in marriage, and they will never die again. In this respect, they will be like angels. They are children of God and children of the resurrection. So he turned the tables on these Sadducees. He's saying, you guys are in error to begin with. There is resurrection. And there's going to be in heaven people who live forever like angels. Now continuing. But now, as to whether the dead will be raised, even Moses proved this when he wrote about the burning bush. Long after Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob had died, he referred to the Lord as the God of Abraham, a God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. So he is the God of the living, none of the dead. for they are all alive with him. So he shut the Sadducees up with this. And if they didn't believe the scripture, that's what they said. That was their belief. We believe in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, or Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. We believe in that God. So they really have sabotaged their own thoughts, haven't they, the Sadducees? So Jesus decided to talk about resurrection more than marriage. He gave a point about marriage, that heaven isn't the place for marriage. That's on earth. What gets to heaven? Who will be our wife up there? Hopefully the same one, right? Anyway, it doesn't matter. When we're all in heaven, it's not going to matter at all. And here he says that all of them, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, are alive. Well said, teacher, remarked some of the teachers of the religious law who were standing there. And no one dared ask them any questions. Now, the religious leaders most likely were scribes and Pharisees. So they thought, hey, this is great. He set up the Sadducees. So they were happy about that. It was sort of like a few Republicans who might be glad when Democrats are shut up, but not many of them. So anyway, we understand this big time in our generation. And it's sad because some of us who are oldcomers, when we grew up, that was not the case. It was either one or the other, and it was always cut and dried. Anyway, but they dared not ask him any questions. And then Jesus presented them with a question. Why is it, he asked, that the Messiah is said to be the son of David? Okay, that was their strong belief. They understood that. That was not even an issue with them. They believed that. So then Jesus went on to say, but David himself wrote in the book of the Psalms, the Lord said to my Lord, sit in the place of honor at my right hand until I humble your enemies, making them a footstool under your feet. Since David called the Messiah Lord, how can the Messiah be his son? That was a conundrum for them, wasn't it? When the crowd's listening, he turned to his disciples and said, beware of these teachers of religious law. For they like to parade around in flowing robes and love to receive respectful greetings as they walk in the marketplaces. And how they love the seats of honor in the synagogues and head table at banquets. Yet they shamelessly cheat widows out of their property and then pretend to be pious by making long prayers in public. Because of this, they will be severely punished. So he's alluding to the hypocrisy of the religious leaders, the Pharisees, and the priests. We'll end there for this week. The psalm that he said about David, where he calls his son, his father, and the Savior. That was a conundrum that they did not understand. Now, we're not going to talk about this, but we will talk about this when we get into chapter 21. Okay, we'll have a different song next week, but we're going to use the same Revelation song this week, and I'm debating about next week. I got a couple of ideas. Okay. Next week, we might want to do the song He's Alive, or we might want to do the one that I've been thinking about the last couple of weeks, I walk today where Jesus walked. And Lord Jesus, we want to be able to say that from our heart. To mean it, that we really want to adore you. Help us to do that more each day.